Welcome to Shiach Sava Kabbalah Parshas Vayichi. Want to start tonight with an idea that we actually saw in the Ksava Kabbalah. We might have seen it together. I'm trying to remember. The Ksava Kabbalah mentions it back in Parshas Vayera, but it fits particularly well in this week's Parsha. Yaakov Avinu is sick in bed. Yosef HaTzadik brings Menasheh and Ephraim before him to bless them. And we're told in Perek Memches, Pasuk Tesvav, Vayvarech es Yosef Vayomar, Yaakov blesses Yosef and he says, Ho Elokim asher hishalchu avosai lefanav Avraham v'Yitzchak. I'm going to read the English, the article translation. O God, before whom my forefathers Abraham and Isaac walked, Ho Elokim haroa el simi odi ad hayom hazeh, God who shepherds me from my inception until this day, Hamaloch Hagoel Osimi Koro Yivarech Hasan Neorim Vikari Vaimishmi Vishem Avosai Avram Vyitzkok Virgul Arov Vikarev Aris. May the angel who redeems me from all evil bless the lads. May my name be declared upon them. May the names of my forefathers, Abraham and Isaac, may they proliferate abundantly like fish within the land. Again, the article translation. The second half of that bracha, Hamaloch Hagoel Osimi Koro, we know is a very famous phrase. One which we invoke in Kriyat Shema Lamita, we recite after Kol Ha'Ne'orim and Simchas Torah. So I want to talk about that, as well as talk about the pasuk that immediately precedes it, the first part of the bracha that Yaakov looks to bestow upon Yosef, Ephraim, and Menasheh. So the Haksava Kabbalah writes, with regard to Ho Elokim Asher Hishalchu Avosai Lefanav, the first phrase, God before whom my forefathers walked, kol hamaymar hazeh hu nosei bilti nosu, ki lo nemar kan lo maiseh velo tfilo. Grammatically, this phrase is a subject without a predicate. Nosei below nosu. In other words, there is no verb that pertains to this phrase. Ho Elokim asher yishalchu avosai lefanav Avraham v'Yitzchak, God before whom my forefathers walked, Avram and Yitzchak, Ho Elokim haro simi me'odi ad hayom hazeh, God who shepherded me from my inception to this day. Yeah. What? Okay. He references the Ribbono shel Olam and then does not say anything about, okay, and therefore what? Is he just addressing HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And then it's very hard to see how that flows into the next pasuk. The imu shav al apostuk shel acharav, hinei ba apostuk shel acharav nizkar noso b'fi asma hamaloch hagoel she'enenu rak shliach Hashem. It doesn't seem as if that first phrase then flows into the following phrase. The next pasuk begins hamaloch hagoel osimi koro yivarech hasane orim. May the angel who redeemed me from all evil, may he bless these lads, Ephraim and Menasheh. Okay, so again, that there seems to be a disjointedness between the first phrase and the second phrase. The first phrase speaks about Hashem, who watched over me, who guarded my forefathers. Hamaloch HaGoel Osimi Koro, the angel who redeemed me should bless the lads. Again, what was the role of that first pasuk? Where was the predicate in that sentence? Hashem who watched over me, Hashem who was with my forefathers, should do what? You know, in other words, it's left dangling at the end of the phrase. Lachain Amar Shlomo Dethau Shu Mikra Katzar V'Shi'uro V'Tashlumo Ho Elokim Asher Hisalchu Yishlach Hesamaloch HaGoel Osim Mikora Shi'ivarech Hesana Orin. So Aksava Kabbalah quotes another interpretation that there is an implied predicate over here. And the way to read these two phrases together is as follows. May God, before whom my forefathers walked, and may God, who watched over me from my inception to this day, may he send Hamaloch HaGoel Osi, may he send the angel who redeemed me to bless these children. Right? So in other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the subject of the sentence. The Maloch is being sent, the angel is being sent in order to carry out the bracha, and in the end of the day, the Maloch is going to carry out the bracha upon Ephraim and Menasheh. Amnam ain't sarech letosefes milin ela al lashon hamikra. However, says Aksav HaKabbalah, in my opinion, you don't have to massage the psukim so much by adding all of these extra words. I mean, again, it works, that interpretation. Namely, that there's an implied verb over here. May God send. It doesn't say, the pasuk doesn't say send. May God send the Malach HaGoel Otzi. May He send the angel who redeems me, and may that angel then bless the children. But again, you have to really add psuk, you have to add words into the pasuk which are not actually present in order to make that interpretation work. Yeah.
It's really the Eibishter who blesses the children. So the Malach is just a shliach of Hashem. The Malach Gufa is the bracha Gufa. He doesn't raise that. I mean, I'm just enhancing the. The question.
Right, right. I mean, b'chlal, altogether, the notion of turning to the Malach for a bracha is also a strange notion. Ha-Malach ha-goel osim yikorel yivarech es-hanorim. May the Malach who redeemed me from all evil bless these children. What? So HaKadosh Baruch is not going to bless the children. You have to turn to the Malach. And by the way, who is this Malach ha-goel osim yikorel? You know, this angel who redeemed me from all evil. Who exactly is that? When did we encounter him? You know, earlier in Bereishis, we've been with Yaakov Avinu since Parshas told us. Where exactly was this Malach HaGoel Osim Yikorah? The only Malach we know of was the one that was fighting with him and having a wrestling match, you know, on the other side of the river. So, was that? What's that? Okay, good. So good. The Malachim and Machanaim, that's the Malach he's talking about. You know, you make a cameo appearance at the end of Parshas Vayishlach, and all of a sudden you're the Malach HaGoel Osim Yikorah. Where'd you come from? Right? So all of these are questions when we read the Psukim. It starts off referencing Hashem, and then there's never a predicate, and then it talks about this Malach that's blessing the children. Well, what's going on over here? So writes Aksav HaKabbalah himself, Kesher HaMikros Eilu Hu Kepshuto HaNoig B'chol HaMekomos. The truth is, it's easy, if you know how to interpret the Psukim correctly, this is the you know, this series of psukim can be understood in a very conventional fashion. Shamispalel misader tchilo shivcho shomakom v'achakach hamavukosh mimenu kimo elokei avi Avraham Hashem haomer elai hatzileini no. It's not uncommon, says the Aksav HaKabbalah, for a person turning to Hashem and davening to first spend time simply praising Hashem and talking about all the things he's done, and then to get to the meat and the potatoes of the request. After all, we know Chazal set up our Shemoneh Esrei in exactly that fashion. Shevach and then Bakosha. First we praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then we come to with our laundry list. You know, Atachanin Ladam Das, you know, I'd like intelligence, I'd like Kapara, I'd like all these things. But Shevach, the praise, comes first, and the Bakosha, the requests, come afterwards. So, and he cites an example of that. When in the beginning of Parshas Vayishlach, Yaakov Avinu turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in prayer, asking Hashem to save him from Esav. So the prayer goes as follows. Again, you can look in the Chumash itself, just to make it a little bit clearer, to appreciate the parallelism. The prayer goes, Perek Lamed Beis, Pasuk Yud, Vayomer Yaakov, Elokei Ovi Avraham, Velokei Ovi Yitzchok, the God of my father Abraham, the God of my father Isaac, Hashem HaOmer Elai Shuv La'artzucha Lomazucha Ve'itivo Imach, God who says to me, go back to your land, and I will do good with you. Right? So then, Tupsukim later, Hatzileinu Mi'adom Yarochim Yad Esav, save me from my brother, from Esav. Meaning, the first Pasuk was just not asking Hashem to do anything, but it was just addressing Hashem and describing all of the wonderful things that Hashem has done for him in the past. And now, Tachlis, Hatzileinu Noam Yarochim Yad Esav, now, bottom line, I'd like you to save me from the situation in which I find myself. So similarly says the Aksav HaKabbalah, that's how we could understand this pasuk as well. The first pasuk starts off, Hashem ho Elokim, Asher Yisalchu Avosai Lefonov, ho Elokim Haroe Elosim Meodi Arayom Azeh, that's simply addressing God, right? Hashem, you are the one before whom my forefathers walked, You are the one who watched over me from my inception till this day. And then the tefillah itself follows. May the Malach Hagor Elosi Yivarech Hasan Ne'orim, may the angel who always redeemed me watch over these children. Okay, you could explain it that way. Amnam Kvar Toma Hari Abarbanel Ma'inyan HaMalach HaNizkar Ka. However, as the Abarbanel already asked the question, that still doesn't totally satisfy us. Who's this Malach? Ha'im Ha'isa HaNahagas Yaakov Ha'idei Malach? Do we find that Yaakov Avinu was taken care of by a Malach for all of these years? That doesn't seem to be the storyline. Okay, so the Malach popped up in Machanayim. Okay, but that doesn't seem to be the majority of interactions that Yaakov Avinu has with HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. V'od, yesh kan tmiyo rabisa. Heyoch omar Yaakov HaMalach HaGoel Osi. How is it possible that Yaakov attributed all of his redemptions to a Malach? Lama lo yizkir asiba rishoni yisbarach shehu goel ho'amiti. After all, God is the one who really redeems Yaakov Avinu, even if we acknowledge that God redeemed Yaakov Avinu through the medium of an angel. But that's only the medium. The one who ultimately was in charge of the Malach is Hashem himself. Umimenu tovo abroch el anorim, lo mehoem soy. Right? The bracha that's going to come upon these children, Ephraim and Menashe, comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not from an intermediary. Right? We know that the Rambam makes one of his 13 principles of faith that you're supposed to only daven to Hashem, not to any intermediary. And we know that historically there were many Gedolei Olam who objected to any tefillos that were oriented towards Malachim. Right? The Maral writes that the beautiful tefillah, which is printed in the Sidurim at the end of Slichas, Machniste Rachamim, says the Maral, you shouldn't say it, because you're asking the Malachim to bring our tefillos up before the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's a beautiful tune, right? But nonetheless, he said, you shouldn't say Machniste Rachamim. Reb Chaim Voloshin didn't sing Shalom Aleichem Friday night. He didn't say sing the stanza Barchuni L'Shalom, because after all, you're asking the Malachim for a bracha. So in other words, you know, there's a tradition of not asking Malachim for brachos. So what do you do with this pasuk? HaMalach HaGoel Osimi Koro? Or, you know, how do you understand that he's asking the Malach for a bracha? V'ro'isi davar chadash b'mechilto d'rashbi. So says the Aksava Kabbalah. I saw something in the Zohar that would seem to answer this question. Kishem Malach hu shma HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Zohar writes, he quotes the Zohar from Parshas Balak, that Malach, at least in this context, refers to Hashem himself. HaMalach HaGoel Osimi Kol Ra, doesn't mean the angel who redeemed me from all evil. It means God who redeemed me from all evil. And the Zohar references two other psukim that certainly can be interpreted in a fashion that Malach refers to Hashem. We find that when Klal Yisrael leaves Mitzrayim, Vayisa Malacho Elokim, the angel of God travels before the Jewish people. So we also know that it says Hashem Holech Lifneim Yomam. Hashem went before the Jewish people when they left Mitzrayim. So the Malach Elokim and Hashem seem to be two terms for the same phenomena. And we also find in Yeshaya, towards the end of Sefer Yeshaya, in Perek Samech Gimel, Umalach Panav Hoshiyam, where it's one of the haftaras that we say during the summer, you know, that it describes how the Jewish people, whenever they were in trouble, Malach Panav Hoshiyam, came a Malach and saved the Jewish people from Tsaras. What do you mean a Malach came and saved the Jewish people from Tsaras? Hashem saved us from Tsaras. So the Zohar says, the Malach over there is Hashem. Okay. So that maybe solves one problem, but opens up another problem. How do you refer to Hashem with the term Malach? Right? Malach is an angel. Hashem is God. Right? Those are two terms which are usually not interchangeable with one another. So writes the Haksava Kabbalah as follows. V'af shebehashkofa rishona nira zor ma'od l'ta'ero so yisporach b'shem malach. at first glance, the notion of referring to Hashem as a malach seems bizarre. However, mikol makom b'sum ayin habechina al ikah hara Hashem malach. Nonetheless, when you really analyze what the word malach means, ein kan zarus kol kach. It's not as strange as it would seem at first glance. Not so strange to refer to Hashem as a malach. Kishem hatoar malach humigizras malacha. Where does the word malach come from? So says the Aksava Kabbalah, the word malach is related to the word malacha, which we know means work, a task, or a job. Mishenimsar lo lasos malachas sholcho, for who omeid tachtov uvimikomo, nikra malach. Miloshen melacha she'osek b'mlecha zulasa. The reason he says an angel, or but for that matter a messenger can also be called a malach, right? The simple pshat at the beginning of Parshas Vayishlach, where Yaakov Avinu sends malachim to Esav, right, is that he sent messengers. He sent, you know, again Rashi tells us malachim mamish, that he sent angels, but the simple pshat is that he sent messengers. So a malach could be a flesh and blood messenger who goes out to do something. Why is he called a malach? Because he performs the malacha, the task that was placed upon him by the one who sent him. Right? Because that's the concept of a malach. A malach is the one who does meleches sholcho, the task of the one who sent him. That's the task of the one who appointed him to go do what he was going to do. Now, Hanochoto harishona ala malachim ha'elyonim. In its most narrow sense, a malach refers to the celestial angels who carry out the tasks of Hashem, right? So in other words, the reason we usually call an angel a malach, you know, the term malach usually refers to an angel, because what's the role of an angel? An angel carries out the malacha that Hashem, the task that Hashem gave that angel to carry out. Uveshituf Hashem, niku gam ken akochos hayisodos hativios, hamemunim amalechas hateva malochim. But the truth is, this in this regard, the Ksav HaKabbal is echoing an idea which the Rambam already expressed this in Mor Nevuchim. Maloch, the term maloch equally applies to a natural force, because a force of nature carries out God's will in a particular circumstance. So, for instance, we just said on Rosh Chodesh, Otze malach of ruchos, God makes the winds into his malachim. What, the winds are malachim? The winds are not angels. The winds are emissaries to carry out God's will. They do the meleches Hashem. So, continuing that idea, writes the Aksava Kabbalah, if a malach simply means one who does malacha, one who carries out a task, then by the same token, HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself can be referred to as a malach. He's not carrying out somebody else's task, but he's carrying out the task which he set up for himself to do. Right? In other words, According to the Aksava Kabbalah, the best way to translate the word malach into English would be doer, D-O-E-R. He's the one who does a particular activity. He carries out a particular task. Most of the time a malach is someone who's delegated to carry out a particular task. But if the CEO gets busy with the task and carries it out, the CEO is also considered to be a malach. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu could be described as a malach insofar as he carries out the tasks that he has done. Now, with all of that, says the Aksava Kabbalah, that's what the Zohar means, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself is called a malach. And that then enables us to read these psukim in a way which just is very straightforward and very beautiful. Let's just go back and read the psukim again, the way that Sava Kabbalah would explain them. Vayvarakas Yosef Ayomar, Yaakov Avinu blessed Yosef and he said,
Ha'elokim asher yisalchu avos b'ilofon of Avraham b'Yitzchak. May God, who before whom my fathers walked, Ha'elokim haroe el sime odi ad hayom hazeh, God who watched over me from my inception to this day, Ha'malach ha'goy el osimi koro, the one who carries out his tasks, who redeemed me from all evil, who is God. In other words, these are just three phrases describing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's three different ways in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is being described. So now we finally come to the predicate. Yivarech es ha-ne'orim. May God be the one who blesses the children. Not a malach in the sense of an angel. May God bless these children. So all of the difficulties fall away. Yaakov Avinu wasn't turning to a malach, you know, like Gabriel or Michael or the like, you know, to ask him to bless the children. He was turning to HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. It's just HaKadosh Baruch Hu is referred to as the Malach. And then the two psukim flow together beautifully. It's not as if the first sentence stands alone and lacks the predicate. It just flows into the second sentence. Ho Elokim asher yisalchu avosai, ho Elokim haroe esi, ha-malach ha-goel esi. It's all the same. Then, of course, we have to ask the following, just follow-up questions just to bring it all together. Okay, so you're telling me a malach means Hashem, at least in this context. But certainly confusing. Why here, out of all these places, did Yaakov Avinu refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a malach? And I think based on Aksav HaKabbalah, you can answer it very, very easily, and it fits into the pasuk. Malach means the one who gets stuff done. So Yaakov Avinu turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he says, you're not only God, but you're reliable. HaMalach HaGoel Osi. Whenever I was in danger, whenever I was in difficulty, and I thought I wasn't going to make it through, you redeemed me. You are the Malach. You are the doer. You are the reliable one who carries out his tasks, who has always redeemed me throughout thick and thin. That's the one I want to give a bracha to these children, that no matter what happens, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be on their side and is going to take care of them. Yeah.
When the Zohar suggests that God is acting in the role of Malach in contrast to Balak, in which episode of Balak?
Yes, yeah, so I don't think it relates directly to anything in Balak. I don't think he's saying that the Malach who appeared to the Asam is none other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. I believe so. I don't think he's connecting it to the Malach who encountered, you know, Bilam and the Asam and all of that. I think it's just, you know, it's by association, you know, it mentions Malach over there, so you should know that sometimes, you know, Malach refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now again, it clearly doesn't mean that always the term Malach refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because certainly there are many times, also Malach of Ruchos, right, like he quoted before from Sefer Tehillim, in that context, you know, the wind is referred to as a Malach, you know, we're not confusing the wind with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the term Malach, the point that Aksav HaKabbalah is making, which again, he's trying to read back into the Zohar, so his understanding is the Zohar understands it in the same way, is that, you know, the term Malach is a very broad term which can describe anyone who's carrying out a task. You know, it's referred to as the Malach. So it could be God, it could be what we call an angel, it could be a force of nature, it could be a human being. Anyone who carries out a task, you know, is referred to as a Malach. Yeah.
Is there any contradiction, so to speak, for lack of a better word, that we have an understanding, Kabbalah, of a Kodesh Baruch Hu responsible particularly for birth, for the restoration of life itself, and for rain, and the Malachim have these, they are the task doers, but they do those other tasks. So, blessing the lands, in other words, might not be, I don't know if it's like Rabbi is saying it's indeed a Kodesh Baruch Hu called by a slightly different name, but is that in any way a contradiction in terms of the known tasks that Hashem is Baruch keeps for himself to do?
So in other words, you know, the Gemara in Tanya says that there's certain keys that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has that he doesn't hand over to a shliach. That's true, but nonetheless, you know, petitions typically are addressed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. So However, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to allow this bracha to come into the lives of Ephraim and Manasseh, the one for whom it's appropriate to petition is to petition HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly. I think that would fit in, you know, with the explanation that he's giving, and would not force us to say that Yaakov was turning to a Malach and asking a Malach for a bracha. He was asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for a bracha in a very, very direct sense. Yeah.
Yes. Is the meaning to use that term to Hashem, the door, whenever considered a Malachim, the door is for Hashem's work?
Right, so apparently not. I mean, that's how he understands it. In other words, you know, and if anything, it's a compliment. You know, Malach means you get the job done. That's the.
Wouldn't that be the meaning? Bring it down a level?
Look, any term that we use for Hashem, by definition, is a little bit demeaning because it relates God to categories that only we understand. Hashem Melech. Well, that's demeaning. What, you think, you know, Hashem is like, the king of Spain? I mean, not to dump on the Spaniards, but, you know, that's all you think of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? The answer is, you know, we need to use some terms to refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, referring to him as a Malach, you know, isn't degrading if we just understand that we're not knocking him down. We're not saying he's an angel. We're saying he's a doer. So, okay, so once you understand we're saying he's a doer, so that's a very high compliment. Yeah.
I wanted to suggest something a little simpler, that we see that when Kodesha went out of the tribe, first by Nachas Sosaris Yehishta went Hanib Lomalach. In other words, that's a high level.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on, when they given a favor, the Yehishta said, for other reasons too, but I'm not going to go. I'm going to send my.
Right, you know, he's left Malach with one.
So maybe Yaakov said, I don't know how things are going to turn out, but I wish, I would like to wish that Hashem blesses you. But the Deavid,
right. You could say like that again. That's not what he's saying.
Yeah,
but that is an alternative way of understanding the second. Yeah.
Is this that pasuk? Is it fair to say that, like, from punctuation perspective, it's Hashem, and then there's like a comma?
Right. Oh God, comma.
Yeah,
right.
Comma. And then who is the Malach?
Right.
And the puzzle continues.
Right. In other words, it's identifying Ho Elohim, Haro Elosi, you know, God who watches over me with the Malach Hago Elosi. You know, you know, the continuation of the same subject.
Yeah.
By Salah Hamala. So, for example, the ability of Salah Hamala suggests that it was a good not quite.
Right. In other words, it's really the same sentence. So, why don't we start with Kriyash Malamito, Elohim Haroe, El Simi, Odi Arayom Azeh? That's a lot to say. I guess it's a long tefillah. Kids are going to fall asleep, I guess, by that time. So, that's actually we'll pick up after Ma'ariv with the second shot from Aksava Kabbalah, Rabbi Chanan ben Akiva. Welcome to the second part of the Shi'a Ksava Kabbalah Parshas Vayichi. So I wanted to share a Ksava Kabbalah on the bracha that's given to Yisachar. We know Yaakov Avinu gives brachas to the various Shvatim. That's most of the Parsha. So in Perek Memtes Pasuk Yudalid, Yaakov Avinu says to Yisachar, Yisachar Chamor Gorem Roveitz Vein HaMishpesoyim. So how to translate those first three words is a little difficult. Yisachar is Yisachar, that's good, okay. Chamor is a donkey. And garem means bones. So literally, Yisachar is a bony donkey. So what does that mean? So Rashi writes that chamor bal atzomos. He's a donkey with a lot of bones. In other words, a strong donkey, so he's, you know, he's strong just like a donkey. Roveitz Bein HaMishpesoyim, he rests between the boundaries, right? In other words, just like Rashi says, just like the donkey goes from place to place and just kind of plops down on the side of the road, you know, whenever he's tired, he doesn't have to go to a specific stable or anything like that. So too, Yisachar is very, very hard working. Vayar menucha kitol v'yasa oretz kino ema.
Yisachar saw that tranquility was good. He saw that the land was pleasant. Vayet shichmo lisbo, so he leaned his shoulder to bear a burden. Vayhi lamatz oved, and he became, according to our article over here, an indentured laborer. Now, what the simple psuk, what the psukim seem to indicate on the most basic of levels is that Yisachar is a hard worker. He's like a donkey, pushes on, just schleps the load. He works very, very hard. Chazal, as is well known, interpret this bracha to mean that Yisachar applied himself to Torah learning. Right? He worked hard in Torah learning, and the previous pasuk, that speaks about Zvulun, Zvulun l'chof yamim yishkon, Zvulun dwells at the seashore, is understood to symbolize the partnership between Zvulun and Yisachar. Yisachar applied himself in a very assiduous fashion to Torah learning. Zvulun was a merchant, and they were merchants. They went out on the high seas, they earned money, and ultimately supported Yisachar's Torah learning. The Aksava Kabbalah helps us look at these psukim in an even deeper way to show how this interpretation of Chazal, that Yisachar was involved in learning, whereas Zvulun was involved in business, really goes back into the psukim themselves in a way which may not be obvious at first glance when we take a look at the psukim, which again just seem to describe Yisachar as a donkey. Okay, my metaphor for a really big masmid would not necessarily be, oh, that guy's a donkey, right? You see a guy, he's sitting yomam v'layla in the Beis Medrash, you say, wow, what a donkey. That's not the term that necessarily comes to mind. Maybe in your yeshiva they did do that, I don't know, but where I come from, that wasn't the term of endearment, for a guy who was a really big masmid. So why call Yisachar a donkey of all things? So Reish the Aksava Kabbalah, we know L'masha Amru Rabu Seinu, She'asu Shutfus Beneyem, Chazal said that there was a partnership between Yisachar and Zvulun. Zvulun L'chof Yamim Yishkon, Vayotze L'Prakmatia B'Sfinos U'Misakir. Zvulun would go out on the high seas, earn money, send it back to Yisachar. V'hem Yoshev Oskim B'Torah. And the tribe of Yisachar was involved in Torah learning. V'atznai Haroshi L'Kniyas HaTorah. The first condition for being able to acquire Torah is miut tainuk, is for a person to minimize the this earthly pleasures which he has. L'may v'achilas ma'adanim u'shliyas mamtakim. You eat, you drink, but to minimize, a gluttony, a lust for, fancy foods and fancy drinks. B'tiyo hasados v'akramim, to minimize just going out and spatzering and walking around, the fields and the vineyards and the like. Kemosha Amru, as the Gemara says in Ksubas, Ad sheyispalel Adam, she comes to divrei Torah b'libo. Before a person davens that the words of Torah go into his heart, yispalel shlo yikamsu madanim lenafsho. He should first daven that fancy foods should not go into his stomach. In other words, first, adopt a lifestyle that, doesn't focus that much on physicality, and then you'll be able to absorb the words of Torah. Right? So, that's the first step in a person being able to acquire Torah. That, says the Aksava Kabbalah, is what's being hinted at in this Brach of Yaakov Avinu. Hinei Yisachar liyoso bocher be'esak ha-Torah mashlich achar gevo called Varm Hamonim Me'esek HaTorah V'Avas HaTanugim. The first step for Yisachar to become the Torah scholar that the tribe of Yisachar developed into, the first step was to put on the side the love for the pleasures of this world. Al Zeh Omar Yisachar Chamor Gorim Rav Salomar Shehoyim Mishtaber Kol Taivas HaTanugim. That's what this phrase means, Yisachar Chamor Gorim, as opposed to translating it as Yisachar is a strong-boned donkey, which, again, is Rashi's translation. Says Aksava Kabbalah, the way to translate it is actually, Yisachar smashes the pleasures of this world. And how do you get that translation? Yisachar smashes the pleasures of this world. So let's start with the word chamor. Haksuvim Yechanu is Tanuge Hagufi and B'Shem Chamor. The Psukim throughout refer to physical pleasures with the term Chamor. Right? Chamor is related to the word Chomer, material, materialism. Right? The Pasuk in Yechezkel, Perek Chav Gimel, describes the people of Mitzrayim who were steeped in physicality as Besar Chamorim Besarim. Their flesh was the flesh of donkeys. What do you mean their flesh was the flesh of donkeys? Why donkeys? Why are we comparing Egyptians to donkeys? Because donkeys, chamorim, has that term chomer, materialism. If you're the kind of person who's steeped in this material world, in the pleasures of this world, so you're considered to be somebody who's like a chamor, that represents that materialism. Right? Wine, for instance, which is, you know, one of the sensual pleasures of this world, is for that reason that wine is referred to in Chumash as Chomer, right? V'dameinu tishta Chomer, right? We find in Shiras Ha'azinu, Chomer is the term which is used for wine, and we know in the Lashon of Chazal, right, in the Gemara, the term for wine, which is used over and over again, is chamra. So it's interesting. I mean, clearly it's the same shoresh, the same root as donkey. What exactly do a donkey and a Merlot have in common? You know, do donkeys drink Merlot? Is there some, you know, secret society of donkeys that are just down in Cabernet Sauvignon every night and we just don't know about this? Why would chamor and chomer be the same words? We said because it comes back to the same idea. It's chomrius. It's this worldliness, this materialism, the drink that symbolizes this worldliness and the pleasures of this world to the greatest extent is wine. So in other words, wine gets labeled chomer because it's chomrius dik. It's something which is related to this world. What's that? And the ruler of Shechem is Chamor, right? It works in, you know, very beautifully with that interpretation. So Yisachar Chamor, right? In other words, there's something with Chamor that has to do with the pleasures of this world. What's Garem? So Garem, we translated before, means bones. But we also find that Garem can mean to smash something, to break something. So for instance, in Parshas Balak, which we referenced before, Perek Chof Dawid, Pasuk Ches, so the Pasuk describes how God took the Jewish people out of Egypt. Yochal Goyim Sorov, the Jewish people will consume all of the nations that are its enemies. That's Mosayam Yigorim. And Klal Yisrael will crush the bones of those enemy nations. That the Shoresh, Yigorem, is the same Shoresh as Gorem over here. So Yisachar Chamor Gorem, Yisachar smashes physicality. That's the translation. It has nothing to do with a donkey. Yisachar is not being compared to a donkey. You know, he's not being compared to a donkey with a lot of bones. Yisachar is the kind of tribe where they smash physicality, and smashing physicality is the prerequisite for being able to acquire Torah. Yisachar hayo mishaber taivas nafsho abahamis bal yilayit acharei tanugi chomriyusa. Yisachar was constantly smashing that kind of desire, the physical desires that he had. And, you know, that's Yisachar Chamor Garem. Amnam, however, you should know, right, Saksava Kabbalah, Lefi she'en tov la'odom lefrosh atzmo mikol dvar chemda, le'chol lechem saru mayim lachatz ulehistanos. As much as we're talking about smashing physicality, it's important not to go to extremes with regard to that. I know it's hard to say this on the day right after a fast day, but, you know, if a person says, well, I'm just going to lead a monastic kind of life. Just water for me, just, you know, very, very simple breads and things like that. In other words, I'm not going to fill up my life with any kind of pleasure whatsoever. That's also not a good idea. A person, for his health, needs to pamper himself somewhat. You don't have to pamper yourself so much. But you know, you have to pamper yourself a little bit. And again, I think when the Ksav HaKabbalah is writing that, you know, for your health you have to pamper yourself a little bit, I don't think he just means, okay, so have some stale bread and put some jelly on it. No, every person in every generation, we know that you need a certain standard of living to be able to feel comfortable. Again, you know, maybe our standard of living in America today, which is a very affluent society, is higher than what a person needed in Lithuania 100 years ago, probably, right? But again, you know, we're not living in Lithuania of 100 years ago. In other words, a person has to, you know, be able to take from this world in a way that makes them feel comfortable. You're not just supposed to survive, you're supposed to feel comfortable. But at the same time, you have to realize that that can't be your focus. In other words, enough to make you feel comfortable and to be able to focus on Avodas Hashem in the best possible way, but not to overdo it.
So, we say that if you don't know them, that kind of lifestyle, a woman?
Who live or who lived? Right.
The Gedolim who lived that kind of life where they had very, very little.
I think it's a very personal thing. Meaning, you know, the idea is you have to strike a balance where you have enough to make you feel comfortable, but not overdo it. What that balance is going to be different for every person.
Are they more comfortable living that kind of
life? Yeah, no, so if that does it for you, in other words, if you can live. A 3-room apartment or a 2-room apartment in Yerushalayim, and you know, basically live a very austere lifestyle, and you're happy, and that's fine. That's great. You know, wonderful. The truth is, adrabba, that probably will help you learn a lot better. If you try to do that and you feel miserable, it's probably a sign that that's not a good idea by definition. You know, and as a person has to know themselves. And you know what the right balance is, but that's the basic idea of the balance. You're supposed to push aside an overindulgence, but to deny yourself everything is not appropriate either. There's a beautiful the biography that came out a few years ago of Rav Moshe Twersky, Sefer Tzadik Levrach Hashem Yom Kodomo, was again brutally murdered, the Harnof attacks in Yerushalayim. So the author describes the exchange that Rav Twersky had with one of his Talmidim. So the Talmud recounted the statement of Rav Shamshon Raphael Hirsch that Rav Hirsch said that you have to appreciate the beauty in this world, and that when he comes up to be judged after 120, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to say to him, "Nu, Shamshon, did you see my Alps?" You know, in other words, you know, you shouldn't deny yourself the opportunity to see great things, to experience great things, and, you know, to have the pleasures of this world. So Rav Twersky said to the Talmud, "You're right, but I want you to know, before HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks you, did you see my Alps? The first question is going to be, did you see my Zvachim? Did you see my Menachos? And after, you know, you answer that, then he'll move on to ask you about the Alps." You know, in other words, it's true, you have to... There is something to enlarge in the spirit, you know, to go places, to see things, to experience things, to have, you know, again, you know, one can't deny all of these things. The pleasures of this world are definitely significant. The question is, how significant? You know, significant relative to what? You know, there's the first order of business is the Masechta Zvachim, Masechta Menachos, and it's also good to see the Alps. You know, that was the point he was making, which I think Ksav HaKabbalah in a different language, a different mode of expression, is saying something similar. You can't deny yourself, but you can't overindulge yourself, right? So Haparish Asmo Minayayin Amr Tarshisarch Kaparas, the Gemara says with regard to the Nazir, if a person gives up wine altogether, so on some level that requires atonement. You know, there's an opinion in the Gemara that says the Nazir is Nikra Chote. You know, the Nazir who swears off wine is called a sinner. You know, I mean, yeah, you shouldn't get yourself drunk every night, you shouldn't overindulge in wine, but you shouldn't deny yourself wine either. There has to be some kind of balance that the person strikes. So that's the second part of this pasuk, says the Ksav HaKabbalah. Also, me'at min ha'me'at mitanugei aguf shechayev ha'odem lahanig ba'gufo v'lost his makom l'nashor ba'amis ha'chomris omar roveitz bein ha'mishpisoyim. So the Yisachar is described as crouching between the mishpisoyim. What's mishpisoyim? Right? So So Rashi translates Mishpesayim means the borders, the boundaries. In other words, as we said before, that the donkey just plops down and goes to sleep wherever. It doesn't necessarily check into a hotel every time that it's going to sleep. It works hard, and when it's tired, it just goes to sleep on the side of the road. The Aksav HaKabal, in contrast, translates the word Mishpesayim not as boundaries, but as little pieces of something that are smashed up. He relates it to the term we have in the beginning of Chumash, Hu Yishuv Charosh, right? The snake is going to try to attack you and crush you. V'atal Teshufenu Akev, you are going to smash the snake with your heel. So, with that in mind, he says that when a person really seeks out Torah in the best possible way, he doesn't eliminate his physical desires, but rather a person has to allow a little bit of the physical desire to exist, but simply to rest, you know, in little portions. Roveitz Ben HaMishpasayim refers to the chumrius, it refers to the physicality. The physicality rests, but Ben HaMishpasayim, among the crumbs, I guess is the best way he would translate it, among the little pieces of physicality, a little indulgence here, a little indulgence there, a little trip here, a little trip there, a fancy dinner here, a fancy dinner there. That's good. That adds a little bit of spice to life. But life that's all about spice isn't life either. Life has to be focused on the main things, which is a commitment to Torah learning in an intense way, a commitment to mitzvahs. So, you know, chamor, the emphasis on chamrius, on physicality, garim, you should mostly smash it up. But roveitz ben hamishpasayim, a little bit of it should be left among the crumbs, you know, among these little pieces. Leave a few pieces of physicality in your life, you know, but not to let it overwhelm you and become the most of what life is all about. This, again, there's more, which, again, I'll invite you to take a look at your own time, but just, you know, as an interpretation of this pasuk about Yisachar, you know, that Yisachar's success in Limud HaTorah starts with a balanced view towards the physical in life, one that mostly dismisses it but just embraces it a little bit. That's the emphasis, the focus on whatever is going on over here in the Psukim. Okay, that's our show. We'll pick up next week. Mazel Tov on finishing Ksav HaKabbalah Parshas Bereishis, Sefer Bereishis rather, and Be'ez HaShem will pick up next week between Mincha and Ma'ariv on Wednesday. Okay, but